second Sunday of Easter, Low Sunday, and so forth. And we're having a great time so far, I think, which is good. And I want to do something just a little bit different from what I usually do with a sermon, and that is to focus on the vision. But before I do that, I just want to say thanks to so many other people, some of them not here today, as you can see, away or whatever it may be. But a number of people who just have done some wonderful things over the 3 years that I have been here. I appreciate it very, very much. Our vestry is just absolutely excellent, I think, in every way. And Jack, who couldn't make it today, the senior warden. And of course, Richard, the junior warden, really shaping the building up here very nicely. And Susan, who is the treasurer. And Marion, who is the secretary. We call it the register here in Virginia. And many others. Larry's been serving on there for quite some time. And Libby and Mishy serving on the vestry, doing a great job as we do things that we need to do and keep going in the way that we need to keep going. Helps things to just keep blossoming and keep growing. And of course, some of you have served on the vestry before, like Bill served for a number of years. And as the junior warden, when we came into this building, I wasn't here then, but I'm glad you did that, Bill, because we're in here now, which is great. So, and then there's other things that also go on just day in, day out, week in and week out. There's the bulletins, and Evelyn does most of the time, and Susan does a good bit of the time as well, putting together these bulletins, which means they have to understand what I'm telling them and put it down and check my spelling. The whole thing is what they have to do, and they just do a great job all the time. And then you'll see Martha back here putting the coffee hour and other things together for every Sunday, and Marion will be helping, and many others with that. Marion, of course, is also heading up the altar guild, which makes sure we have the bread and the wine here every Sunday and other things, which is absolutely just wonderful. And then there's the garden out here, which MJ is leading, as well as John and Mishy. Doing some great things, just absolutely great things, building community and also bringing fresh produce to people who need to go to the food pantry to eat. And they get some things from us that are fresh all the time. So that is going on. And, of course, the musicians. And, of course, right up front here in the front row, Pete and Bobby. They've been with the music team for some time, as well as the symphony ministry group, which goes to Symphony Assisted Living, Symphony Manor, once a month. And some of you go with them, just doing some great, wonderful things. And Sonny, of course, pulling it all together on the keyboard and otherwise the sound and everything else. There's just all kinds of things going on like that. And as I mentioned, Dave is also here this morning taking everything in, which is great. So now here's where I get really nervous. Really nervous. Did I miss anybody? Yeah, right. Right. Okay, I probably did. So if I did, just tell them it's there's no excuse. Okay, but if I missed you, I'm sorry, and thank you for everything that you're doing. And we also just have some great relationships with people in the community. And Lauren is here today from Aspire Dance Academy to join in with us. Hi, Lauren. Glad you're here. Yeah, thanks. Feel free to dance anytime you want, too, this morning as well. Okay. We can move the chairs, right? And not that you have to do this, but one memory I have in the years of ministry is one church we served in Pennsylvania. There was just some wonderful young woman who was a very accomplished dancer who would occasionally just spontaneously dance during the service. And once, after the sermon, we did the creed as we usually do, and there was a moment of, there's a time of silence, and she came up and danced. No music, nothing, just silently, just some spontaneous choreography that really inspired our worship all the more. Just brought us closer to the Lord to see that. Incredible. Incredible. No pressure, Lauren, but just, it came to my mind. All right. I also today want to just take a few minutes to review our vision. What's going on? Why does God have us here? Why is St. Francis in this place at this time in history? What is going on with that? And what we see, the vision that we share, that we sense that God has given us, is that all throughout this community, there are groups that we are inviting into the family of God. And so we see a community in the future in which everyone at least has an opportunity to be in the family of God. Everyone is directly related to somebody like that. And there is all kinds of transformation going on because of that. Healing, reconciliation, fruitfulness, people knowing their calling, relationships in which all kinds of other things are released. You can barely name it. In fact, we are going into something that we cannot describe because it doesn't exist yet. And we'll unpack that for a few minutes as we go along. That's what God wants us to do. Now, most of us have been raised up in a system which makes inviting people into the family of God, you know, your place, your identity, who you are, how you're loved, what your purpose is, all that can be hard to grasp. And some of that organization has been what we sometimes like to call plug and play. And that is, we set up a chart. Say, these are the programs that we're going to have. This is what we're going to do. And you're going to do this one, and you're going to do that one, and you're going to do this one. And until you can't do it anymore for whatever reason, and then you unplug, and we hope to find somebody else to plug in to that so that it can play some more. I mean, it's not evil, certainly not. And things can happen and it'd be absolutely great. What happens with that, though, is you may be a square peg and that hole could be very round. And there you feel like the church has got you in there and they've taken out the hammer trying to pound you into that hole so that the program will keep going. One of the churches that we did in Arizona, one of the first meetings, somebody said, you know, this sounds very interesting. One of the things I just don't like when we went to one of the large mega churches in Arizona was this. They had a program for somebody who's like us, our age, our family, and all that. But we felt that they wanted us to keep coming so that the program could keep going. And if I got something out of it or not was second to that. So I never went back. Well, I paid attention to that. After a while, she never came back to us either, but that was a different question. That's some other sermon, some other time. What goes on with that? Well, we are following something which is not plug and play. It is, who are you, and how can we build you up to be everything you were created to be? That's an environment in which people outside of that environment are invited into the family of God. They're drawn in. It's powerful the way that happens. Sometimes what we like to do is to have things swing just a little bit too far into the position of saying the church is a business. And we got to use some business practices, absolutely. You know, we got to know how much money we have, you know, things like that. We got to. The bishop asks us to count people. That's a business practice. Things going. Yeah, you got to have that. You got to do that. And a clear vision is a business practice as well. However, our organization, who we are, is not so much being a business as it is being a fellowship that has some business practices. And the place where we usually trip, maybe not so much us, but a lot of people trip with that, is that a business moves people from one spot to another, one job to another, depending on what the business needs. So if you're in a business and there's some area open up, and here you are, you've been a good manager or employee, then the boss will come along and say, we'd like to move you over there. What we do, because we follow after Jesus and the way he did things, is this. We make people. We build people. We strengthen people, encourage people, prompt people. We don't need to move anyone from this spot to that spot so that our church will go okay. We need to build you up and build each other up and stand with each other and bless each other so that your life will be filled in every manner Jesus desires. Then sometimes that just happens and we can't count it. Don't know how to count that. But after a little while, something happens that can be counted. Like people start hanging around you and they start coming with you to worship. Things like that. Or even more. Those are some of the things about what we're doing, about our vision, about what we've been building over these past few years and where we're going in the near future. And one of the things, could I borrow your bulletin? Thank you. One of the things that Jesus said, which describes us, is on the bottom of the second page in the reading of the gospel. Jesus said to Thomas, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. We are the ones who have not seen and have come to believe. And so just by default, we are blessed. And that blessing does something to us that makes us able to extend that same blessing into places where people don't know that they are blessed. When Israel was wandering in the wilderness, there was all kinds of things happening, as you may recall, thunder, big columns of smoke in the day, columns of fire at night, miracles, manna falling from the sky, plagues stopped by a dead serpent, all kinds of things that were just crazy. And after that generation died out, there were people who had never seen that. And one of the old rabbis said, the ones who did not see the thunder, did not see the miracles, did not see the manna, and yet believed, they are the dear ones. That's you and me. We did not put our hands into his side or our fingers into his hands. And yet, we've come to faith. And in God's eyes, we are the dear ones who've done that. The great blessing since Jesus has been the existence of the church, the great blessing throughout history is the existence of the church, the blessed ones who have not seen and yet have believed. What we want to do is increase the number of people among us who have not seen and yet have believed. So I'm going to bring out this chart one more time. I like to keep it in a place where everyone can see it every time they come in. And I'll put it in front this morning. This is us. This is where we're going. And this is where we are now. We're the church here, and this will always be there. But there are some of us who are going out here in these groups, as we've seen before. And these are groups who begin connecting with people who are not yet in the family of God. They don't see themselves as part of the family of God. And yet God is already at work there. So what happens is this. Somebody in here, which is this triangle here, that's a person, sees it they catch it. There's something that Jesus shows them. There's people they start saying, gosh, you know, I would love to see these people get something from God. And they begin forming a group around themselves. And what happens is this. They begin seeing God outside of the circle in the lives of other people who may have never, ever been in a church. But there's the same God that we worship every Sunday morning present in their life. A friend of mine in Arizona showed up one morning at our church and said, you know, I was over at my church today and some kid, and this was a church in Sun City, you know, the average age was 74, much older than us, said, some kid showed up at our church today, said nobody in his family has been to church for three generations, his great-grandmother. But I want to know if you can baptize me today. The same God who was worshipped at the same church right there was at work in that young man. What we want to do is when we're here and when we're gathering together in these groups that are outside of what we experience and are familiar with, is prepare our lives, our hearts, our minds, and our souls for meeting God in places that we never knew God was, and encountering people that God is working in that we never have met before, and having forms of being with Jesus that we've never thought of before, so that these people out here can begin to come into the family of God as well. That's where we're going. That's what it looks like. Now, what I cannot do is get a lot more specific than that, because when you get out here, you just don't know what this looks like. The temptation would be to find a building, get an ordained guy, get a band, get some bulletins, and start doing it again. And what we would do is get the same thing we have here, which is great, but we won't get anything out here. There are forms of the church, patterns of ministry, methods that have not yet been thought of, that will bring the gospel alive to people out here. What we're doing in here is preparing ourselves for things we've yet to encounter. Recognizing Jesus at a level where when we're out here, things can happen that we haven't imagined yet. So that when some kid shows up whose family hasn't been around for three generations and says, will you baptize me? We won't drive over to our friend's house and say, hey, you won't imagine what happened. We'll get the water anywhere we can find it. We have to drive on down to the James. You can begin to see this happening already in here, where among us, things are happening that have never happened before. Some of us are hearing things from the Spirit of God we've never heard before. Some of us are hearing in ways we've never heard before. And what happens is that opens up capacities within our hearts, within our creativity. I mean, how many years, and we don't do it every Sunday like we used to, but how many years did we all sing here, open the eyes of my heart, in the middle of communion? 7? 10? 14? Maybe the whole time. Sunday after Sunday, for For years, we're saying, God, open the eyes of my heart. And what happens? What happens? Some of you start getting dreams. Some of you start looking out the window, thinking, oh, okay, it's God. Some of you start doing all kinds of stuff because it's God. And it's an answer to that prayer. And with the, what is happening is we are getting ready for this. See, when if that's you or there's a team around you, you're one of these leaders who wants to reach some people out here, and you start forming a group and you start reaching them, something very dynamic and specific has happened. It's the opposite of what a lot of church growth tells you to do. A lot of church growth will tell you, you get the right leader to articulate the vision in the right way and motivate everybody around to pursue that vision, and things are going to take off. We all think that. I mean, I used to think that. I'm hoping you won't think that anymore. This is to deal with that. That's a business model that moves people from one place to another. If there's one person speaking one vision that everybody else has to follow, then you might plug in here, and if something else happens over here according to that vision, they might unplug you and plug you in over here. And what happens is we move people instead of making people and building people. What I think Jesus is talking about is this. You have this person has a vision. And some other people share it. Like any small business in this community. And you start reaching people here. You are the hero of that story. The person out in the community who started grasping the faith because you said yes to Jesus and took a couple of steps into that vision. You are now the hero of the story where that person came closer to Jesus. It's not the pastor being the hero of the church story that filled all the seats. As you've discovered, seats can empty as fast as they can fill. But this is fruit that will last. And if you're that person or on that team, you're the hero. You're the one Jesus says, you are my child, and in you I am well pleased. Okay, two more points, and then we're going to move on to the table. Here's what I'm hoping to do before I'm done here at St. Francis. I'm hoping that these groups will multiply and there'll be people connected to St. Francis that I haven't met. Because they know you. And they're connecting to you to worship and to grow. I'll meet them after a while, but they don't need to meet me first to come in. They can meet you. Because you will be the hero of their story of coming to faith. I don't mean to put you on the spot, Lauren, but just like Lauren is the hero of kids who learn to dance with all their heart. You, Pete and Bobby, are the heroes of people at Symphony on the last Sunday of the month in the afternoon, now feel closer to Jesus. All I did was give him more bread to take. That's us. That's us. That's incredible. That's something I want to give my life to, and I'm asking you to do the same. That is something that bears fruit that will last. That is something that glorifies the name of God. That's something that makes people, that releases a movement that sees things we'll never see otherwise. Right from here, you are here, and it's going out there. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for everything that you've done. We thank you for all that you're doing among us. We ask that you would raise up the heroes of the faith among us, even if we're quiet, even if we don't make a big scene, that there'd be people who come to faith because of the people in this room and those connected to us now. You multiply your heroes for the glory of your name. Amen.